Good. It is good to be together, even though we've kind of been together. It's a blessing to be with the Lord and His people. And you know, when you worship sometimes and you take the table and you know you're going to speak or say something later, and you're sensing the Lord's there, I always have the sense of like, what's the point? Like, what's the point of speaking when the Lord's here, right? Like, but then the Lord says, because I want you to say something. So, I feel like scripture Timothy read that God has chosen what is foolish in the world. I just wanted to read that and say, today this will be fulfilled in your midst. And so, I really thank the Lord that He puts me in these positions. It's an ongoing conversation I have with Him why He does this, but He is good and He loves us and He loves you and He has something on His heart, and He's always had something on His heart, and that's what we're talking about, the eternal purpose. And so, you know, we hear this scripture about He chooses the foolish things of the world. And Paul also says in one text, he talks about the foolishness of preaching. And today, as we are worshiping Jesus, and as we've been talking about these unsearchable riches, and even while I was just sitting here, I just got revelation of why is the foolishness of preaching. We are trying to explain something unsearchable. We are trying to preach a Christ that you cannot get your mind around. We're constantly grasping at Him, constantly seeing more of Him, and then we go to preach Him. What foolishness that someone as I is going to say something about God. How foolish is that? Yet, this is how God has chosen to work. This is God's wisdom. And so that's what we're going to talk about. I would like to pray for the sake of the Lord's word and for the sake of you guys and for my sake. And so, Lord, I just thank you so much, Lord, that you love me, that you love us, that you've granted us peace with yourself. Lord, that precious blood that you shared, Lord, we just pray it will be applied to us fresh, even as I speak these words, Lord, and even as you speak to ones here, speak to hearts, God, we pray that will be a manifestation of the eternal purpose. There will be a making known of this wisdom. And Lord, we would see it through the church, which you desired. It would just be real to us this morning. And so I ask that you would breathe upon us. We need you, precious Holy Spirit. Lord, this is just a game without you, Holy Spirit. Unless you speak, unless you enlighten us, unless you bring to light things, bring us the things of Christ, Lord, we just get words and information, God. And so we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to love on us by revealing yourself to us. In your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, as I speak, you guys bear with me. I'm not a guy who prepares a lot of notes, and the notes I do prepare, sometimes I'm scared when I get up here I'm not going to be able to read them. I just have stuff all over, all kinds of pages all over the place. So you might find me thinking, oh yeah, what's that point? I remember I wrote that down last night at 2:00. And so that's kind of how it works. And that's kind of how, that's between me and the Lord, how we do that. But I did want to talk about this principle of, like we're talking about these things of the eternal purpose, and God had things hidden from the ages. And Paul, you know, said that these things were revealed to him in Ephesians. So that's, I'm just going to read that, to begin with in Ephesians 3. If you would turn there. So in Ephesians 3, It is hard, like everyone said. If I go to Ephesians, is a hard book for me to read, because, like Jeffrey was saying, it's like one thought or one sentence, and so you're like, I'm going to start right here, and I find myself, well, I need to go back to chapter one. You know, I need to read that, and so I'm just going to make myself do this. This section that we've been reading, where it says that this grace was given to me, the least of all saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of Christ, or the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to shed light for all about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. This is so that God's manifold or multifaceted wisdom may be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. And so, what a section of scripture that this is what we're talking about. There was something that was hidden. Now it's made known. God wants it known to all. And it is that the manifold wisdom of God will be made known through the church to the powers, to the principalities in the heavens. And that's what then next we get the phrase, this is according to the eternal purpose of God. And so, for my section, as I've been thinking about this conference and praying, is just locked in on this phrase, the manifold wisdom of God has really been, you know, I read this over and over and over and think about the eternal purpose. And I'm a very simple person. And so when I read something and it says manifold wisdom, I always say, well, what is that? I don't know what manifold wisdom is. And it's supposed to be made known through the church to principalities. And this was according to the eternal purpose. And so you have this eternal purpose. So that would be before us, right? This was way before us. In ages, it was hidden. And this is God's will, to manifest his wisdom. And so I do feel like I'm going to take a chunk today to talk about this wisdom of God. And so, but before I do, I just wanted to mention these things that we have that God, this thing was hidden in God. And Paul, now he got to see this thing, and now it was brought to light to him, and he's bringing it. He has the grace or the administration to bring it light to others. Well, before we seek these scriptures and hear something about these things, I just want to mention about the heart of seeking. I want to speak a few moments about what's the heart behind, like, wanting to know something. Like, why do we want to know these scriptures? Why would we get in a car and, like, drive, or in a plane, and, like, we're in a tent in James' backyard, right? Why would we do this? Why would anyone go anywhere, take any time to seek things? And so, and how come some people see things and some people don't see things? And so the Lord put this on my heart yesterday morning when I woke up, that because I was praying and all of a sudden I went blank. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, I've been preparing for months, but now I feel like I don't know anything. And so I started asking the Lord and seeking the Lord yesterday morning, and he started showing me some things, like, that I hadn't thought about before, that I hadn't seen before. And I got very overwhelmed that I'm like, why is the Lord showing me this stuff? Like, what would make him show me anything? And so I just want to get wrapped up in the heart of God, that we have a God who desires to be with us. We have a God who desires to show us things, but he also hides things. And we know where he hides them. Jeffrey shared with us. They're all in Christ. He's hidden all good things, all the riches in Christ. So there's only one reason why you aren't getting any more riches than you're getting. You're not abiding in Christ. If you abide in Christ, or the scripture says, if you remain in His love, in Jude, like He's able to keep you. How is that? Because He's constantly giving you riches, and He can constantly keep you. And so as you abide, we have those things. I just think about Paul, who saw these things were hidden, and now he sees them in Christ Jesus. You know, he uses in Christ a lot, right? So that's where it's at. And so, but in Colossians 3:3, Paul says that we are dead and our life is hid in God, right? Through Christ. So the hidden life will find the hidden things. Remember that. The hidden life will find the hidden things. The things that God has for those who just abide in Him. And I love these scriptures because we all know Romans 8:28. Jeffrey shared this too. I had the same experience where the Lord had it, like, you know, years later. It's like, you might want to add that other part to Romans. You might want to add that other part. Well, if you think about it, He works all things together for good to those who what? Love Him. In the talk of the eternal purpose and in the talk of hidden things, the wisdom of God, principalities, before time began, all those things, you cannot take out this element of, do I love Him? Because that's it. It says for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. You can know His purpose, but do you love Him? What's the number one commandment? To love God with everything. Just to love Him. And another, there's other scripture where it talks about like the point of loving God. And you know, Paul even talked about how we can do all these things. We can understand all mysteries, right? We can understand these things, but without love, what are they? It says you gain nothing. So we want to gain riches, but it's like an open secret. You have to love Him. And how do we love Him? Because He first loved us. And I feel like I had this phrase come to me. My kids like to play hide and seek. The Lord said, I like to play rest and seek. You rest in My love. You rest in My finished work. You rest in My gospel. You'll see the riches of Christ. You'll see the glory of God. And so the Lord just put that to me that, you know, loving the Lord, and the Lord has to purify it. It can be immature, but to love Him is just, you love Him for who He is. Now I think about these things. We're going to talk about wisdom, and the Lord just opened up some things to me, and hopefully I can get through it, and it makes sense, and it's not a jumbled mess. But to me, it's not. Between me and the Lord, it's pretty good. But it's this thing of wisdom, of knowing God. Like, think about it. His goal was to make known the manifold wisdom of God. And so, we're going to open up the scripture. He did this. I had these things and studied all these just little fragments, but last night, the Lord, like, put this together to me. And it was wonderful to me. But this thing of why are we seeking? Are you here just because you love Him? You can just say, God, I just love You. And so it's this aspect of, I think about in James, we're going to read later about wisdom. You know, one thing about wisdom, and in James, he talked about asking for things or ask for wisdom. And there's some people who don't get what they ask for because they ask amiss, right? So some of us could even be here and like, why do you want to know about these Bible truths? Or even, why do I even want to teach about them? Is it a miss? So sometimes we have to ask This is where the love comes in. Why do you want to know these things? Just so you can be a more knowledgeable Christian? So you can share it on Facebook, make a video about it? So you can feel better about yourself? Because I have a very curious mind. I just want to ask a bunch of questions. I just want to ask a bunch of questions and get some answers. Like that question and answer box. Why did you put a question in there? Why do you want to answer? Is it because you're in love with him? And you just want to know what he thinks? And you want to know what he feels? And what he's doing? You can put it this way. Sometimes, what if the Lord just wants to tell me something just because he wants to tell me? And he doesn't want me to tell anybody. It's just between me and him. And I found that with my life. There'll be times where I'm just going down the road and the Lord says, you know, Stephen, so-and-so, so-and-so. And I'm like, oh, okay, Lord. It's no sermon. I don't write it down in a book. It's not in a journal. It doesn't need to be on a video. It's just between me and the Lord. Because he loves me and I love him. And you love him. And so I can steal this point because I was thinking about these things. And I heard Francis Chan lately give a message about the quiet life. And he mentioned, Jeffrey mentioned this too, because I thought the seven thunders, how like John heard it. He knows what they said. He could write it down. And God says, no. Maybe the universe will know later, but just God and John know. That's love. And think about John, you know, the apostle of love, right? So here's the thing. Are you a type of disciple that when Jesus wants to turn to the side and say something, you're leaning on his breast and you can hear him? That's the heart we should look at Ephesians, the eternal purpose. This isn't some nuts and bolts to figure out. This is a living God. And we're going to get into he's holy and he's above us. But for some reason, he loves us. And we have to ask the Lord to purify our love. And if you don't have this type of walk with God, you need to look into the gospel more. What Jesus actually did on the cross and rest in it more. We have nothing to prove. I feel like this, I've shared this with these brothers, the Lord has brought me to a place to where I have nothing to prove. I am what I am by the grace of God. And I know he loves me. That is my confidence. And if you think about Paul, even in the midst of all these revelations, what does he want the church to understand? The width and the height and the depth and the breadth of what? Love of God. And even Paul, who knew all those mysteries and worked in power, what was he constrained by? The love of God. So without that, even the points I'm about to tell you are pointless. So just be before the Lord, even now, and say, Lord, do I love you? Do you know the Lord loves you? Like, have you settled that? Are you comprehending that more and more and more that he loves me? And so I just felt that is very important to know. Very important to know before we got into these things, or even just over this conference and over your life, even as you go home tomorrow. You're going to need to know that he loves you and that you love him. You're going to have to be confident in these things if you're going to flourish to the end, and you have to abide in him. Everything you need is in Christ Jesus. It's not just a Sunday school thing. We have people in here that have just saved. Some people have given their life to the Lord and they will testify that. Anything I've ever gotten good that ever lasted is in Christ Jesus. Run to him and let him speak to you. And just that even this morning, like if the Lord is wanting to reveal something and turn and speak, or are we like John? We're the one right there beside him. And that place can be for all of us. Because that's when he ripped that veil and he said, we're one with the Father and we're one with himself. This is what he died for. We're supposed to know these things. So that's some of my point at the beginning is just that the spirit of love, of knowing the Lord in that way, and then of just why we would know these things. And it's okay to ask questions. I'm not against that. And I was just thinking about the eternal purpose. I remember the first time I heard this phrase, the eternal purpose. And I even feel like I'm saying it too much these days. It's like losing meaning to me. But I remember I went to Sunday school growing up. I went to a Bible college. I went to two Christian schools, colleges. And I was listening to some, like a free audio book or something. I think it was Watchman Nee. I didn't even know who it was. It's just, I was just looking online for a free book or something. And it was the chapter about eternal purpose. And I remember sitting in a chair and I thought to myself, hold on, I've been a Christian. I've been around Christian stuff my whole life. Went to a Bible college. I don't think anybody's ever explained this to me. Like, that this exists. This eternal purpose exists. And, I don't know, I guess everybody said it. Like, these things will mess with your life. Like, you might be going one way, you see this, and you go, oh. Like, it hones it in to where, like, there's actually a purpose to this. There's actually a purpose why Jesus died for me. There's actually a purpose to why his blood covers me and I'm saved. And there's actually a reason there's a church. And there's this cosmic thing going on. And it was astounding to me, even the little glimpse that I got. And so I just wanted to just ask the question, like, do you know the eternal purpose of God? And in one sense, I know this is like foolishness of preaching type thing. Like, who's going to raise their hand and be like, yeah, I got it. I got the eternal purpose. I'll see you back there. But at least introduced into it or heard something or it's been in your spirit before you and the Lord and you've been asking the Lord about it. Has it ever meant something to you? And so that's a question to ask. And another one is, if you haven't, why not? Why do you not know these things that God is doing? Why do you not know? And some of the reasons you may not know may be some of the things I even mentioned earlier. You want to know amiss. You want to know for your own sake, not just for the Lord's sake. Some things are hidden in Christ that only until your heart gets in that position of loving him for what he is and who he is, we just don't see. Because it says when you ask amiss, you're asking for your own self, your own gain. And so if you don't know, you need to know. And also, why do you need to know? Why do you need to know God has a purpose? Is it relative to us? Why do you need to know, even as a high school student, why do you need to know God has a purpose? And I just want to share, this about the necessity of knowing this to our life. I had a quote I wanted to read about this, about a guy I was listening to. He was talking about the eternal purpose of God, making the manifold wisdom of God being made known through the church, which is according to the eternal purpose. And there's a reason it's like when I was reading that book and I've been around Christian circles for a while and I went, oh wow. Nobody said this to me. And as I look back, there's reasons why. And so some of the reasons is because we like things to be about us, whether we know it or not. I know we can think we're like humble and it's not about us. But as you go on with the Lord, you realize, no, I think it's about me. I mean, it just comes natural to us, right? And so here's the question, and this brother asked this he talked about giving yourself to something that doesn't seem to have any immediate or practical meaning or application to in your life. That's kind of hard to do. To give yourself to something, he's talking about the eternal purpose of God, that does not have any immediate or practical meaning or application in your life, right? Or it doesn't seem to have any consequence in your daily, day-to-day life. And so some people, when you're scooting through the scriptures, during your devo time, and you read like, oh, the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose of God, like you're like, that's great. But like you're looking for something to make you feel better, right? You're looking for a nugget that has consequences right now. This morning I have to go to work. I have to drop the kids off, or I didn't do this paper. I have to write this paper. And it's this thing's talking about, oh, manifold wisdom of God through the church. Those aren't like scriptures. Sometimes you're like, oh, wow. I'm glad I read that, man. I'm really can go witness to my high school friends now. And so, he says there's a call to rise, to apprehend, and to embrace something that has nothing to do with your practical everyday issues of your life. In one sense, this is right. One sense, it's wrong. But he was going somewhere. And he says, this is Art Katz, by the way. He says, we are too rooted in the immediate, visible, the temporal. We're rooted in our needs. And he says, what is needed is a triumph of the unseen, the ultimate. He says, what is needed is a triumph of the unseen and the ultimate, which, he says, God calculated to free us from the bondage of narrow self-interest. So this unseen, this eternal purpose, he says, this needs to triumph in your life. And God has calculated this because this is what will free us from the narrow self-interest. He says, this is God's genius. He didn't give the eternal purpose because he wants to get fancy, but because he knew if we were not occupied with something beyond this age, we will become rooted in this age, which is to be null and void in this age. So I'm going to read that again. God didn't give us the eternal purpose because he wanted to get fancy. He knew that if we were not occupied with something beyond this age, we would become rooted in this age, which is to be null and void for this age. And if that isn't the testimony of the church, majority of the church, I can say in America, I live in America, and he started that with, we're rooted in the temporal and we're rooted in our needs. But our deliverance is something that's beyond us, something that's not of this age. And so he says, if we're not rooted in something beyond this age, you will be conformed to this age. Right? And then you'll be no good to this age, because you'll be just like this age. And so as we read, and they talked about the purpose of the ages is what we're talking about. Just remember this. Why should you know these things? For one sense, you should know these things because it's what God's doing, and it really doesn't matter if you like it or not. This is just the sovereign God stuff here. You will be judged according to this purpose, whether you think it's boring, whether you like it, whether you think you know too much about it. This is how God will sum all things up. So in one sense, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter if you think this is in your life or on a daily basis. Just know at the end of your life, all our lives will be judged according to this purpose, what he has accomplished in Christ Jesus. And we have to keep, it is the eternal purpose. which means just not in the past ages, it's the purpose of the ages, it's the purpose that will trump all ages and will last forever. This has everything to do with you waking up and going to high school. This has everything to do with the way you treat your wife. This has everything to do with the way you forgive your brother, forgive your sister. This has everything to do with it. This has everything to do with the way you see your social media life. This is the purpose that God is working out. And God will judge all things according to this purpose. And so it matters very much so that this gets into us. This becomes how we have our being and how we breathe and how we have church life and how we go to work and how we go to school and hang out and play sports or whatever we do. And so, and this point of making known this manifold wisdom of God is something I just wanted to. How much time do I have? Is there some limit on here? I don't want y'all. Oh, it's time to eat, isn't it? I'm like Jeffrey. I just got to the point where we're gonna pray. That was a young guy talking back then. He probably has a granola bar in his pocket. I don't, so. I want to spend some time talking about this wisdom of God. And hopefully get it done and we can go eat. When James read this, I've been on this wisdom and looking all through the Bible at it, but I didn't see the scripture James read last night when he was speaking about Satan. And some things went together. And then let me see if I can get this scripture. If Proverbs 8:1-4, and then I'm going to read some of the scripture that James read. So we're going to go on a little journey about wisdom. This is God's eternal purpose. This may not mean anything to you, but when I first started praying about this, it may even seem a little dumb, but it means something between me and the Lord. When I was praying, I was asking the Lord about the eternal purpose. What should I share? What should I do? And I feel like the Lord said, you know, Stephen, the eternal purpose isn't to make known the eternal purpose. It's to do what? What was supposed to happen through the church? Making known God's wisdom. And I feel like the Lord says, that's what you look for. Sometimes people might not even have the terms, the eternal purpose of God, but I can see a group of people making known the manifold wisdom of God. Because that's the point. The manifold wisdom of God. And so we're gonna try to do this thing about wisdom. So Proverbs 8:1-4. I just wanted to show wisdom has been a part of this whole process. Proverbs 8:1-4, and then I don't have it all. I took a screenshot of it. This was like 2 or 3 in the morning. So, does not wisdom call and does not understand and raise her voice on the heights beside the way at the crossroads? She takes her stand beside the gates in front of the town. At the entrance of the portals, she cries out, to you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, and when there was no springs abounding with water. And it goes on. But this is talking about wisdom. I remember reading this years ago, and I thought, I know it says it was brought forth first, but this kind of sounds like Jesus. Right? This wisdom says, I was set up at first before the beginning of the earth when no depths were brought forth. So when we talk about the eternal purpose, you kind of have to go back before things began, because it wouldn't be eternal if you didn't. And so when the eternal purpose is to make known the wisdom of God was already there. And God already knew, I created all things and made all these trappings of the earth because I was going to have an entity, a body called the church, where this wisdom that I had will actually flow to the earth through this group of people. That's what he was looking for. So in one sense, you could say, you know, when we talk about the eternal purpose, we could go through the scripture and see the bride of Christ. We can see the house of God all through it. We can see the temple all through it. You can see the garden all through the Bible. And so last night, the Lord just took me and said, look at wisdom all through the Bible. This is what I was doing. And so, and then I thought about, so I was thinking of these things, and think about who this wisdom is supposed to be made known to. The principalities. And so, the enemy knows about this wisdom. And he doesn't want you to get it. Look at what it says, if this is about Satan, what James read yesterday. Ezekiel 28. What was he full of? At the beginning, when I think it's 11, when he starts to talk about, we think it may be Satan. It says he was full of wisdom. Right? He was full of wisdom. I can't find where I wrote it. He was full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. And did you know what he did? He corrupted his wisdom for the sake of his splendor. So, this wisdom at the beginning, that God knew one day I'm going to make known my multifaceted wisdom through the church, was at the beginning. Satan, actually, it says, was full of wisdom. And he corrupted his wisdom because he used it amiss. Right? He didn't have the right heart for it, for this wisdom. It wasn't his heart to gain this wisdom that we're told to gain. And if you look through Proverbs, and I thank God for this, one of the first things that ever got dear to my heart in the scripture was in Proverbs. Was it Proverbs? I know it was Solomon. Where he said, and all you're getting, get understanding. And wisdom and understanding go together. Right? If you look through scripture, wisdom and understanding go together a lot of times. And I remember reading that when I was in college. And I said, Lord, if you put that in there, and you say, in all my getting, this is what I need to get. I said, I'm going to start to ask for this. This is what I'm going to start to ask for above everything else. And even old dummy like me, the Lord starts to show you stuff. And the Lord's like, hey, you're abiding in me? You ask, I'll tell you. Because he desires for this wisdom to be made known. And so what we have is it's not just for us, it's to be made known to the principalities. So you see this warfare that even James was talking about, how Satan had this wisdom. He corrupted his wisdom. Right? And this wisdom was there from the beginning. And so, this is, we see how the Lord is moving in this way. And I even thought of Solomon. When Solomon could get anything he wanted, what did he ask for? He asked for wisdom. And I'm going to look it up. I'll try to. And that's not what gets me. What gets me is I'm looking to see. When you look through the scripture, my Lord, who I love, I'm seeing what he likes. You know what he says? This pleased God. He says, this pleased God. And he said he granted him that wisdom. And it says God said of him, it pleased him. Basically, it's like God saying to Solomon, Solomon, that pleases me. Because you could have asked for riches. You could have asked for lands. You could have asked for this. It pleases me. It's like he touched a little bit of God's heart and God says, in fact, I'll give you the riches. I'll give you the long life. I'll give you all that because you wanted to know my wisdom. He didn't ask amiss. He asked for the right heart. He touched on the heart of God. And when you think about that, you see how God's heart has this wisdom manifested. And then I think of in 1 Corinthians, Timothy read some this morning. I mean, you could just read the first two chapters of 1 Corinthians. I wouldn't even have to talk, probably. And you know, as you look through things in Scripture, you realize, like, Paul is talking about this. You know, they say Ephesians is the high watermark where he explains this. He's talking about this in Romans. He's talking about this eternal purpose in Corinthians. Peter's talking about it. James is talking about it. Right? It's there. And so you see in 1 Corinthians, you see how, what Timothy read this morning, you can read, this is hard to pick. I'll start with, I can't see my Bible that good. So it's, where it says, where's the one who is wise? Where's the teacher of the law? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? For since in God's wisdom, the world did not know God through wisdom, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of what is preached. And so you see how, you see what's happening here? Paul is, he's talking about this wisdom, and this is where we contrast. There's a wisdom of the world. Where did that come from? It come from corrupted wisdom. But Satan corrupted his wisdom. But Satan doesn't know the wisdom of God, as we learn. And it says, brothers and sisters, consider your calling. Not many of you were wise. That's encouraging. From human perspective, not many powerful, not many noble in birth. Instead, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something. I wish young people would get this. This phrase, I'm a high school teacher, so please forgive me. This thing of, it says, what is viewed as something. That is Satan's goal, is to get the youth to think, oh, that's something. That right there, what I just saw, that's something. I know he does this older people too. James mentioned, like, this job, this career, like, that's something. And God is choosing the foolish things of the world to bring that to nothing. And so you see this warfare over wisdom. We need the manifold wisdom of God in our lives, not the wisdom of this world, which is corrupted by Satan. But actually can have parts of truth in it, sound good, but it's nothing. It comes to nothing. And as we said, the purpose of summing all things will be summed up in Christ. Like those Jordans you have to have, or that boyfriend or girlfriend you have to have, or this, or that, or that video, or this, and that degree, and that college, and that career. It comes to nothing if you do not obtain it through the manifold wisdom of God. It means nothing to the principalities, and it will mean nothing in your life at the end of your life. These things go hand in hand. Making known things known to the principalities, and what you're doing and going to school, and the way you look at social media has everything to do with each other. There's no break in them. It says that so no one would boast in his presence. It is from him that you are in Christ. This is what I like. Who became wisdom from God for us. So what is this wisdom that's being made known in Ephesians? It's Jesus. That's Sunday school answer, right? Jesus is the answer. And one of the first times after we talked about praying about this conference, I read this. I said, well, let me go to and read it. And it says the manifold wisdom of God will be made known through the church. And so, this is according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, the eternal purpose has already been accomplished. It's already accomplished. Where? In Christ Jesus. It's already done. We get to be in it, for in Christ. This wisdom of God, who's this wisdom of God? It's Jesus. Right? We are told this wisdom we talked about from the beginning, it says Christ became wisdom. And here goes the warfare. Later on in chapter 2, we know that Jesus was crucified, right? And it says when he talked about only knowing Christ and him crucified among them, he didn't come in speech, but he came in power, because he didn't want their faith to rest in the wisdom of men. So do you see Paul's fight and his warfare? Some of our faith rests in the wisdom of men. That's why it's weak, and that's why I cannot get you through. That's why you're not hearing things from God. And Paul refused. He had some wisdom to talk about, but he refused to give Satan the people of God. He did not want them, your faith, to rest in the wisdom of men. And I see people's lives every day, they're resting in the wisdom of men. Sounds good, looks good, feels good, maybe it'll work out, and it's nothing. And so when Paul came to this church, he did not want anybody's faith to rest in the human wisdom, but in the power of God. Then he says, we do, however, speak a wisdom among the mature, but it's not a wisdom. It says, but this wisdom, but not a wisdom of this or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So he says, we speak a wisdom, but is it not a wisdom like the rulers of this age? So this is where you see this warfare. You see this conflict, even in Ephesians, making known this wisdom to the principalities. You see this struggle in 1st and 2nd Corinthians of this wisdom struggle. Right? And he says, the wisdom of this age, and he talked about human wisdom, and then wisdom of this age, or the rulers of this age, they're coming to nothing. This is why this is relative to us. If you're making any decision in your life right now, off of any wisdom other than the wisdom of God, it will come to nothing. Even if it takes your whole life to come to nothing. Here goes the warfare. He says, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. So we're speaking a wisdom now that was hidden. What is he talking about? Is this the same thing in Ephesians? I think so. Listen to this. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, because if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus is the wisdom of God. He's the manifold wisdom of God. Multifaceted wisdom of God. All things you need are in Christ Jesus. You need God's manifold wisdom in your life. And if you think of this principle, if they had known the wisdom of God, they would not have crucified Christ. What is the cross of Jesus Christ? It is the wisdom of God. The cross is the wisdom of God. I wanted to read in James about wisdom. Because what James does about wisdom will show you which wisdom you're going off of. Right? There's a wisdom of the world. Then there's God's wisdom. He even said, if you don't have wisdom, ask for it, right? And so, in chapter 3 of James, I'll read some of that. I'll try to wrap it up. If you notice, this question is in Scripture a lot. In 3:13. It says, who among you is wise? You ever notice Scripture asks that a lot? Who among you is wise? I mean, when you hear that, just humble yourself and say, not me. And then God will show you what he's trying to show you. When God, if God comes in the room and says, who's wise in here? Just be like, I'm not. Then he's like, good, let me tell you something. And so, it says, who among you is wise and understanding? By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So every wisdom that you touch that is not from above is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. So you see, this is, I wanted to do this because this manifold wisdom is to be made known through the church. And some say, well, how's that practical? This is how it's practical. Look at this list we just read from James. Is it, are you a part of his purpose where you know the manifold wisdom of God is being made known to you? Sometimes we know, sometimes we may not know. But we do know this. The wisdom of the world will be brought to nothing. Right? And if you have envy, selfish ambition in your heart, these things are because you've digested some bad wisdom and the product's coming out of you. Many of us have digested bad wisdom. And it's either earthly, unspiritual, or demonic. And so I just want to mention that point of this is, I know we've been in the heavens and now I'm talking about like your social media account in high school and stuff. Because this wisdom that you saw, that it says it was there. In Corinthians, it says it was predestined. That wisdom was predestined to come to us. And it was predestined for that wisdom to be manifold through the church. Right? That's what is supposed to be happening. And so what does that look like? Like this, in one sense, it's like no separation. Like let's say it's just all transparent. We see God. We actually see the flow coming. We actually see wisdom coming down. Oh, I see it go through the church. I see it go back to God's glory. Like that's what was supposed to be happening. And this has no age limit. And I've been looking at this even for my own kids. This is what I've been praying for my own kids because looking at this, God give them wisdom. God give them wisdom. I've been begging God, give my children wisdom. It doesn't say you got to get to a certain age to start to live of this wisdom. Younger people, if we would have had this wisdom of God, a lot of us wouldn't have done half of what we've done. You know, I took the wisdom of the world. I looked up to things I thought were wise, things I thought were something. And God had to bring them to nothing. This is why I talk about the goodness of God. This is why I even bring it down to, I love him. Because I, in high school, this person is sitting here talking about, this is why this is so foolish. This person is sitting here talking about Satan and eternity past and the manifold wisdom of God, and he's going to wrap things up and judge all things. And I was in high school. I digested so much wisdom, ungodly wisdom. This person, I hated myself. I had a moment with the Lord this morning, and the Lord's talking to me, showing me these things. Like I said, I don't know how much you're getting out of this, but it's wonderful between me and the Lord. And I was with the Lord this morning, getting ready, and I was just thanking him. I was just, Lord, you know, I appreciate the Lord. Like, you don't have to show me anything. And I walked by the mirror, and I had a flashback to, like, high school. And I thought, you know, I remember looking in the mirror in high school and just saying, you know, I hate you. Hated myself. Didn't like myself. And then to think, God loves me, and I know it. I can rest in it. And you can't take that away from me. Like, it's very simple sounding, but that's the only reason he ever shows me anything. It's just because I love him and he loves me. And he gives wisdom. Because Jesus is wisdom. And we have all things that we need in Christ Jesus. And so, out of James, you see how this wisdom works out. And I just want to make this point of Jesus, the cross being wisdom. As we have to go back, or as you have to go back into some circumstances that you have, or whatever's going on, is the cross is always the wisdom of God. And so I think about in Ephesians, I think I can preach the rest of this without reading something. But if you read the rest of Ephesians, Paul is writing that to them and saying this is the eternal purpose of God. And then he goes on to say, you know, he doesn't want them to lose heart about what he's suffering. And he says, this is for your glory. And so you had this aspect in there to where, you know, I'm reading that and I'm asking the Lord, okay, Paul's talking about this eternal purpose and this high stuff. And then he's like, I'm telling you this so you don't lose heart at my sufferings. Why is that? So I asked the Lord, like, why is that? And so, because what can happen is some of us are saved. It's glorious. Yes, he's wonderful. And then something's going to happen where it looks like this thing is not working out. This eternal purpose does not seem to be working out too well for me. That's when we need the wisdom of God. That's when we need the cross. You know, we read that song. Well, I mean, we played that song and I was reading it where Jesus was in the grave and is painting this picture. And I thought, you know, that's how some of us feel about our lives. Like, it's getting dark. It's getting darker. It's getting darker. But if you have the wisdom of God, you know what's going to happen. The wisdom of the world says, yeah, it's dark, it's over with. You can't do this, you can't do that. But inject the wisdom of God, the cross, which is Christ himself, which is his cross, Christ and him crucified. Like it says, if Satan would have known that wisdom, he would not have crucified him. That was the wisdom of God to bring deliverance. That is how God, the cross is how God brought about the church being born. The church being able to now, in Christ, have this manifold wisdom displayed through one another, to the principalities. And so, just remember, be encouraged. I'm telling you this because this eternal purpose in your life may not look like it's working out glorious all the time. But Paul said, be encouraged. This is for your glory. This purpose can't be stopped. All other things will be brought to nothing. This will always be the thing. And so I know I brought it down to us, and the purpose is to make known, but it won't get made known to the principalities if we don't know these things. And I think about, I told James this story of, like, even down into how Satan thought he had Jesus, was going to kill him, right? He fulfilled the will of God. He fulfilled the will of God because he didn't know the wisdom of God. That's how Satan works on people. He thinks he has us. We each have, in our own testimony, a manifestation of the wisdom of God. Satan thought he had me. I thought about killing myself as a junior, and he had me. He had my mind wrapped up. He had me. How did I get here? I'm a display to the principalities. Yeah, I was going to be dead, but I'm not. Because of the manifold wisdom of God is being displayed through me to the principalities. Here I am. Why am I still here? Why are you still here? To the praise of his glory. And may God get glory through his church. And all these things are from him. And they're through him. And may they be back to him. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for your grace and your patience with us, Lord. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. What beautiful manifestations of the wisdom of God. And Lord, may we fight for these things, Lord. May we rest that we can hear more of these things from you, Lord. Lord, I pray every disciple in here, young and old, would lean freshly against your bosom, Lord. They would freshly lay their lives down, any ambition, anything they're working towards, and lay down just to hear, oh, what do you say, Lord? What are you saying about the eternal purpose? What are you saying about where the church I go to? What are you saying about the relationships I'm in? Lord, I pray the wisdom of the enemy will be canceled out of everyone here, and your wisdom will be made more known, the manifold wisdom of God, which is Christ Jesus. Lord, what you did on the cross made manifest in our daily lives. And I just ask that you will protect this word and all these words and help us to fellowship, Lord, even as we eat. And I pray you'd help us to love you and love one another, even while we're here. In your name, Jesus. Amen.